Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're glad you're with us here this Sunday evening, January the 12th, 2025. We're here on New Visions Radio every Sunday at 7 p.m. And if we're not here live, Ray Powers makes sure we get on the air one way or another.
Right.
He'll rerun a program, and we're grateful for that. It's really good to have you here. You know, last week, Ed, right as the program was finishing, we started getting a winter storm here in Virginia. And boy, did it came through, and everything has been crunchy this week.
Yeah, icy and snow kind of getting solid.
Yeah.
It's been real cold.
It has been very cold. Yeah, it's been in the teens here at night and single digits at some points. So, you know, it's we're really grateful to be here, friends. We've been studying a little bit about Israel.
Yes.
And the misunderstandings that people have had. But before we dig into that, Ed, tell us a little bit about this little tiny ministry called Prophecies of Hope.
We're just a small ministry here in Stanton, Virginia, in the Shenandoah Valley, a beautiful place to live. And we've been around since 2012. We've been in our present location since 2015. We have services on Wednesday evening, prayer time / Bible study time. And we have our church service on the seventh day of the week, Sabbath, which is Saturday. And we have a Bible study at 9:30, which is available via Zoom or live stream. Mm-hmm. And then we have our church worship hour at 11, which is live streamed.
Yes. And if somebody wants to contact you, Ed, how would they do that?
You can contact me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
Yeah, you can contact me, Mark, at prophecyhope.com. If you just want to send a general question or you can't remember our names, office at prophecyhope.com. Also, if people visit our website, there are hundreds of sermons on the website, and there's a little search bar. You can type in whatever topic, like if you wanted to know something about the rapture or the thousand-year reign, or, you know, you just mentioned, Ed, that we meet on the biblical Sabbath.
Right.
If you'd like to know why that is, well, the Bible really gives us a lot of information about that, and there's a number of lectures about the Sabbath pointing to and showing what day of the week the Sabbath is from a biblical perspective and a historical perspective.
Right.
And from the perspective of many different denominations that people don't even realize, you know, they're part of a particular denomination, whether it be Baptist or Methodist or Brethren or, you know, whatever it is. And a lot of times within their own ranks in their church, the leaders understand and know what day the Sabbath is.
Right.
So it's really interesting. If you'd like to check out the website, we'd love to have you do that.
And you could actually look at some old pictures of us if you want to know what we look like.
Yeah, actually, it's funny because, Ed, I think your hair is just a little bit grayer than it was when we first.
A little bit less.
And a little, well, my style is still the same.
Yeah.
you can't really, you know, I always tell people, when they see a picture of me, I say, well, that was a glamour shot. You can't do anything with this.
Yeah. Just
But, yeah, you know, it's funny. The time just goes by so fast.
It does.
And it doesn't seem like we've been together as long as we have, doing these programs and just doing ministry together. Also, you know, if you'd like a copy of the Bible, we want to encourage you to open a Bible as we go through this program.
Yes.
Please read along with us.
Now, if you have a different version, it's going to sound maybe a little different, but that's okay.
Sure. And, you know, typically, Ed, I think you use the modern King James.
Most of the time.
And usually I use the New King James. And I will tell you that, you know, Ed and I both really like the authorized King James Bible because it seems to be tried and true. But it's hard to understand sometimes. So that's why we tend to, when we're doing evangelism or we're doing a program like this, we lean toward the modern translations because it's just easier for us as lay people to understand it.
Yeah, I have over 20 versions of the Bible in my Bible software that I look at from time to time if I want more understanding of what I'm reading.
Yes, and just to encourage you with that too, Ed, I'm glad you said that because if you have a computer, whether it's a desktop or laptop, and I think just about everyone has these little devices we carry around called smartphones,
right.
you can download, whether it's an iPhone or an Android, you can download these little apps that have Bible translations,
right.
And some of them have many translations.
Right.
And so you can follow along even with that as you listen.
Right.
But if you need a Bible and you'd like to have a Bible sent to you, you can email us and we'll make sure that you get one way or another.
Right.
Also, if you have any Bible questions, not that we have all the answers. Sometimes people will send in a question that makes us go back and start looking in the Scripture for the answer. That's happened a number of times. So send us your questions, and we'll try to address them here on the air and try to help you come to an understanding. And it'll help us come to an understanding because we certainly don't have all the answers. So is there anything else we need to talk about?
No, I don't think so.
Ed, would you have a prayer for us, please?
Sure. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, we're grateful for this time we can come together and open your word. And Father, as we read the Bible today, especially a prophecy in the book of Daniel, give us wisdom and knowledge to understand these things. And guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, for several weeks now, we've been talking about Israel and this misunderstanding that many, many Christians have, that the Jewish nation, we're not talking about individual people,
right.
But the nation of Israel, a lot of people have been taught and are being taught that they are God's chosen people today. The Bible is very clear that Israel was a chosen nation by God. It's very clear about that. But last week we looked at something in the book of Acts.
Right.
Can you give us a little review maybe of some of the things that we talked about? We were talking about Stephen, and he gives this tremendous sermon.
Right. The book of Acts really is the story or the account of the early Christian church. And we find that just as the Jewish leaders persecuted and killed Jesus, they were doing the same to his followers after his death and resurrection.
Mm.
Nothing had changed. They still were disobedient to God and his son. And so we find in this account of Stephen in Acts chapter 7, the story of Stephen preaching the same things that Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
And these Jewish leaders accuse him of the same things they accused Jesus of talking about, that their temple would be destroyed and that he was teaching things against their laws. And this had to do with the ceremonial laws of the services in the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And so they arrest him. So he gives his testimony, which is really a history of the experience of the Jewish nation.
He recounts their whole history,
right,
all the way back to when they first were enslaved.
So in doing so, they can't deny any of this.
Mm.
And so as he gets to the end where he talks about, God raising up his son whom they put to death,
mm-hmm,
they got very angry. It says they were cut to the heart, but it was cut to the heart in a different way that it mentions that same phrase in Acts 2, where people were cut to the heart to want to be saved.
Right.
They were cut to the heart, and that made them angry because they knew that he was speaking truth.
Sure.
And it was against what they had done. And so they took him and stoned him and stoned him to death.
Now, one of the things that occurred at that stoning is that there was this man named Saul,
yes,
who was there when this was done.
He was a young man at that time.
Yes, and this is the man that we now know as the Apostle Paul.
Yes.
So this whole experience with Stephen must have had an effect on him at some point in his life.
Right. And we're going to study today in the book of Daniel and see that this event, the stoning of Stephen, is actually the fulfilling of prophecy in Daniel chapter 9.
So where are we going to begin? How are we going to do this?
Well, let's talk a little bit about the book of Daniel.
Okay. All right.
Daniel was a follower of God who was involved in some of the people that were taken into captivity by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon.
Right.
And Daniel, the book of Daniel is 12 chapters, and many of these chapters have to do with Daniel's visions. And these visions have to do with prophecy or the history of the world yet to come.
Yes.
We can see that in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, where you have the statue made out of different types of metals. This is really a prophecy of the history of the world yet to come, ending at the second coming of Christ.
Yeah, in fact, King Nebuchadnezzar has this dream, and he wants to have it interpreted.
Right.
And he calls these wise men together, and they couldn't interpret it. Well, this young man, Daniel, who he could have been as young as 18 or 19 years old.
Yeah.
And he comes before the king, and the king was going to have him killed. And he says, well, give me some time. And he goes back, and he and three of his Hebrew friends pray together, and God gives him the answer.
Right.
And he comes back to the king, and he not only gives the king the dream, but he gives him the interpretation of
right.
the dream. And so he has the king's respect and attention at this point. So this is Daniel chapter 2 is where that account
right.
is. And it's really, you know, if you would just take time, friends, in your personal study to read that. And on the website, there's a number of lectures that talk about that.
Right. And through the book of Daniel, we get to, there's some exciting stories in the rest of the chapter, but when we get to chapter 7, we have another account of history. And you understand that all these visions that Daniel had really build upon each other. They're
mm-hmm.
all the same subject.
Yes.
Which is what's going to happen in the world, in the history of the world yet to come after Daniel's time. It uses different symbolism, but it just represents the different powers and nations that are going to come on the scene in the world. And in Daniel 7, we have the four beasts. And again, they correlate to the different metals that are used in the image.
On that image, correct.
In chapter 2 of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And then when we get to Daniel 8, we have another vision. But this is further along in the history of the world at that time. Now Babylon is no longer in power, but Medo-Persia mm-hmm. is in power. So the nation of Babylon isn't mentioned in any part of that book. There's no symbols in that chapter.
In the chapter.
Chapter
right.
8. And in the chapter 8, the vision is partly interpreted to Daniel, but not completely. At the end of Daniel 8, verse 27, it says, "And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterwards I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it."
Mm.
So he didn't have complete understanding of the vision. He understood part of it because, you know, the angel Gabriel told him that this rough goat is the king of Grecia.
Right.
And the great horn between his eyes is the first king, which, of course, is Alexander the Great, the
yes.
great horn. And it talks about there's going to be a later time or the kingdom where their transgressors have come to fall. A king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And, of course, it's talking about Rome,
mm-hmm.
whose language is Latin, whose language they don't understand, talking about understanding dark sentences and so on. And so in verse 14, it talks about part of the prophecy is about unto 2,300 days, and then shall the sanctuary be cleansed.
Mm-hmm.
This is the part that wasn't interpreted for him.
Right, he didn't understand
it. He doesn't understand it.
Because this was yet future at that time.
Yes, yeah. And so at the end of that vision, he was sick afterwards. It bothered him. Then he went about his doing the king's business, but he said he didn't understand it. I was astonished at the vision and didn't understand it.
Now, I'd like to, just for the sake of the listener, I want to say this. If you look at these prophecies, if you read these accounts, you're going to find in Daniel, you know, sometimes we read and it can be very confusing, but a lot of times the interpretation is given
yes.
within the chapter.
Right.
In fact, even here in Daniel 8, it explains, and I'll just hit a verse or two here.
Sure.
It says in verse 20, the ram which you saw having the two horns, they are the kings of Media and Persia. Right. So it's explaining what was being told.
Right. It says the goat will go at the ram and destroy it, which
yes.
means, you know, it tells that's Greece. And of course, you look at world history, after the Medo-Persia, Greece overtook the world.
Absolutely.
By Alexander the Great.
Absolutely. So, don't just stop when you're reading these accounts. Don't just stop and say, I wonder what this is. Keep reading.
Yeah.
And many times, it will tell you the interpretation of these things. The problem here with this prophecy in Daniel 8:14 is that it doesn't describe it here at this point. So Daniel, he can't talk about it. He can't write about it.
Right. If you notice the beginning of the chapter 8, it says, in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me. Well, the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar is where Cyrus captured Babylon.
Okay.
We find that, I believe it's in chapter 5.
Okay.
And the writing on the wall.
Yes.
And so here we see, even in the visions, the initial prophecies being fulfilled.
Sure.
Even in the book of Daniel.
So now there's something interesting in verse 14. It mentions there's a sanctuary that shall be cleansed. And, you know, if you think about it, to the Jewish people, the sanctuary is something very sacred.
Right.
And all of the prophecies that are in the Old Testament point to this particular sanctuary. This is why it's so important that we understand that the nation of Israel at the stoning of Stephen, what happened. And this is also something that a lot of people today, they're trying to go back to this sanctuary thing.
Right.
This is a huge error in Bible teaching, well, people who are trying to teach what the Bible says
right.
today.
You have to understand that when God brought the children of Israel, Israel being Jacob and his 12 sons who multiplied into a great nation while they were in Egypt and became slaves in Egypt, when he brought them out, one of the things he wanted to do and told Moses is to build me a sanctuary mm-hmm. so I may dwell among you, and build it after the pattern I show you.
Which was in heaven, we're told.
The pattern was of the sanctuary in heaven.
Yes, Hebrews makes that clear to us also.
And all the ceremonies, all the workings in the sanctuary represented or pointed to the plan of salvation.
Yes.
That there was going to be a Savior come, and he would die for the sins of the people. But in the meantime, these sacrifices of these animals represented what Christ would come and do. And they weren't saved. Their sins weren't forgiven by the blood of these animals.
Right.
But their faith in what these things represented, the faith that there would be a Christ, a Messiah, to come
yeah.
and would be put to death and raised again, and that his blood would cover their sins.
So in looking at those prophecies, when Stephen is recounting these things that we read last week, all of this should have caused them to think about these things.
They were very upset, very concerned that when Jesus said, you destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up again.
Right.
And of course, he was talking about them destroying the temple of his body.
Yes.
And they misunderstood that. They accused him of saying that he was talking about the physical temple.
Sure.
And to them, that was a symbol that God was with them, that they were okay with God. But they were fooling themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout their history, they had denied God. They had worshipped other gods. Even though they, at the same time, had gone through all the motions of those ceremonial services, yet they were still worshipping other gods. And so when Stephen went through this history, you know, they accused him of saying the same thing Jesus said, that Jesus would destroy this temple.
Right.
And so these things caused them to put him to death.
You know, it was holding them accountable.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
And even though they have all this history, and all this knowledge, they still didn't understand that all these things in the temple represented what Christ would come and do, and they failed to recognize, or if they may have recognized, but they denied that they wanted Christ.
Right. I think they knew and understood there was a Messiah that was coming.
Right.
But when he came, they rejected him because, and I think a big part of this, Ed, is it wasn't the way they thought it was going to
right.
be. And isn't that what happens today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, certain things, and maybe, well, this isn't the way that I was taught. This isn't what I always had learned. I thought it was going to happen another way. Why can't we just allow these things to unfold and just believe it because the Bible says it?
Right.
It might not be the way I've made it up in my mind, and that's a difficult thing to do. Allow the Bible to speak for itself. I've heard you say many times, you know, it doesn't matter what I want.
Mm-hmm.
It's what God wants. It's what's, you know, if the Bible says it, why can't I just accept it, whether I've been right or wrong all of my
right.
life?
Right.
And that was the problem here.
Right.
They didn't want to accept it because it didn't go along with the narrative that they had been indoctrinated with.
You have to understand, the reason they were in Babylon, the reason they're in captivity, is because God had sent them warning after warning after warning. There's verse after verse in the book of Jeremiah that says, God's saying, I have risen early.
Yeah. Disobedience.
Yeah, I've told you way ahead of time, and still you won't listen to me. You know, Jesus talks about the Jews having a history of killing the prophets.
Mm.
And that's what they were doing. They wouldn't listen to them, and they would actually put them to death because they didn't like what they had to say.
Right. And again, we're looking at this in the biblical perspective as a nation, not
yes.
individuals. Because Nicodemus came to Christ. He was a Jewish leader. He came to Jesus and wanted to know. Of course, it was in secret. There was mm-hmm. a lot to lose. A
right.
lot was at stake. And sometimes, you know, when, if we're a part of a particular denomination or a church, we may have to come to Christ in secret.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And in fact, a lot of the people in the Old Testament would come to God in secret. Daniel, though, he opened the windows, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, let everybody see what he was doing.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
So are we going to get into some of this today?
Yes. You have to remember that along with God's warning in the book of Jeremiah to the people that, you know, they were going to be in captivity.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just the nation of Babylon. It was also Assyria that had attacked Israel and taken some of the people captive. And
right.
there's a whole wonderful story that has to do with Jesus and the woman at the well in terms of what happened during this period of time. But with that, God had told Jeremiah that their captivity would last for 70 years.
Right.
And he had written this information in a book. And that book had been sent to the captives in Babylon. And this is where we come to Daniel chapter 9. That Daniel 9:2, and in the first year, this is the King James, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem.
So read verse 1, because it kind of sets up verse 2.
In the first year of Darius, the son of Assyrius, the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans.
So we have the timeline here.
Yes. We see now that Babylon is no longer in power. It's Medo-Persia that is in power.
Right.
And Daniel understood the time because he had read this book by Jeremiah saying that the desolations of Jerusalem would be accomplished in 70 years. He understood that the 70 years were almost up.
Right.
So here we have this prayer of Daniel, confessing sins of the people, of the nation of Israel, how they didn't hearken or listen to the servants of the prophets when they spoke to the kings or princes or fathers of the people of the land of Israel, in verse 6. And so it goes on, Verse 10, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, or to walk in his laws.
Mm.
Isn't that a common problem today?
It is a common problem, yeah.
Which he has set before us by his servants, the prophets. Verse 11, yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they may not obey thy voice. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. Again, this is goes back to the book of Deuteronomy, where Moses, or God through Moses, has presented to the nation of Israel
mm-hmm.
a curse or a blessing. A blessing if they would follow God and be obedient to him. And a curse if they refused to follow
sure.
him.
Sure.
And now they were experiencing that curse.
Because of disobedience, God has to withdraw.
What is interesting is on Mount Elba and Mount Gerizim, on one mount the blessing was spoken, on the other mount the curse was spoken.
Okay.
Jesus at the woman in the well, the woman's referring, do we worship on this mount or worship in Jerusalem?
Yeah.
And that mount was Mount Gerizim.
Okay, that's interesting.
It is. It is. Anyways, it's just a little side note.
No, that's good. I love that.
And so Daniel realized that they were had experienced the curse of God. All those things that were involved in that curse, they experienced.
Mm.
Because of their disobedience to God, worshiping false gods, worshiping the pagan gods of the surrounding nations. And now he realizes that that 7-year period that was prophesied is almost up. And so he's praying to God. And as he's praying, in verse 20, he says, and while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, you notice Daniel didn't exclude himself.
Right. He's including himself in there.
So and presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain of God. I believe that's probably referring to Jerusalem.
I would think so.
Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, talking about the vision in chapter 8,
mm-hmm.
being caused to fly.
Gabriel being an angel, it's calling him a man here.
Right.
Gabriel's an angel.
Being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. I think that's probably the evening prayers, the evening sacrifice that would have occurred.
Yeah, mine says the evening offering.
Yeah, the sacrifice that would occur normally in the services of the temple.
Right.
And at the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth. Verse 2. And he informed
yeah.
me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Well, Daniel wasn't praying for skill and understanding in his prayer, but he had been confessing his sins and the sins of the people.
Right. He just did that right before
right.
we saw that.
But remember, at the end of chapter 8, he didn't understand all of that vision. And now Gabriel came to give him skill and understanding of that vision.
I see.
Because he had been faithful to God. He had poured out his heart and confessed his sins as well as the sins of the people. He recognized and believed the word of God that this prophecy of 70 years was about to be fulfilled.
Okay.
He goes on to tell him, at the beginning of thy supplications, or his prayer, the commandment came forth, and now I come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision.
Mm.
So, when Daniel started praying, Gabriel was commanded to go forth and to give him understanding of this vision of Daniel 8.
And then verse 24 begins this vision right. that we're talking about.
Right. Can you read verse 24 for us? Actually,
sure.
24... actually,
through
the end
of
the chapter.
Yeah. So this is what it says, and it's going to deserve a little explanation here and there. In the New King James, it says 70 weeks are determined. What do we know about that word determined, Ed?
70 weeks are determined. If you look at the interpretation of that word in the Hebrew, a much better word is cut off.
Right. And so this is important that we understand that.
Yeah.
70 weeks are cut off.
From thy, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, or cut off from thy people.
And for your holy city, right. It says, to finish the transgression. So pay attention, friends, to what's happening at right. this point, at this cutting off point. So let's start again. This is Daniel 7:24. 70 weeks are determined, or we could say cut off, for your people and for your holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Very important verse.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood, and till the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate.
So here we have this time prophecy talking about 70 weeks, and we'll get into that a little bit more, but just look at the verses that Mark read. Okay, Daniel is being told, 70 weeks are determined or cut off upon thy people. So in the next verse, we have 7 weeks and 62 weeks, or 62 weeks. So 7 plus 62 equals what?
69.
So here we have 69 of those 70 weeks.
Right.
And in verse 26, he says, after the 62 weeks, or the 62 weeks, remember, there are 7 weeks before that, so after mm-hmm. the 69 weeks, the Messiah right. shall cut off. And in that last verse, we have 1 week. So 69 plus 1 is 70. So we have that time period being talked about.
Right.
So 70 weeks. It says, know therefore and understand in verse 25, from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, so 69 weeks. So we have a beginning, we have a known beginning for this 70 weeks.
When this prophecy starts,
yes.
is what you're telling
it's
us.
It's that going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
So 70 weeks. There's something we need to understand about Bible prophecy in terms
right.
of time.
Right.
And so we need to understand that one day in Bible prophecy represents 1 year.
Now, we're talking about when the Bible is giving us prophetic timelines.
Yes.
So when it says that God created the earth in 6 days, that's not speaking prophetically.
Yeah.
And he rested on the seventh.
Right.
So we're talking about prophecy here.
Right. So how do we know that?
Well, actually, we can find some of this in Ezekiel.
All right.
Is one place, Ezekiel chapter 4.
Okay, can you take us there and show us how we know that?
Yeah, Ezekiel chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, then you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have laid on you a day for each year. So then I have this in the easy-to-read Bible.
Okay.
And it says, this time you will hear the guilt of Judah, bear the guilt of Judah for 40 days. One day equals 1 year. I am telling you how long Judah must be punished. That's interesting. So this isn't just something that we're just pulling out of the hat. The Bible translators recognize that in prophecy, a prophetic day equals a prophetic year.
Right, and we can see that also in Numbers chapter 14.
Okay.
In Numbers 14:34, it says, according to the number of the days in which you search the land, 40 days, for each day for a year you shall bear your iniquities, 40 years, and you shall know my alienation. That's the modern King James. And this is talking about the time before Israel was going to go into the promised land. They sent spies into the land, 12 spies. They were there for 40 days. They came back and made a report. 10 of the spies said, no, we can't do this.
Right.
Two of the spies, Caleb and Joshua, said, with God's help, we can do this. The people decided not to go into the land. They refused to obey God and believe his promises.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was their punishment. They would spend 40 years in the wilderness, and that generation who did not believe in God would die in the wilderness.
Right. So here, again, that's more backing that a prophetic day equals a year. Now, the other thing is, Daniel 9:24 that we're reading here, I have it here in the King James, or the New King James. It states, 9:24, 70 weeks are determined,
right?
In the Living Bible, there's actually, it says 490 years.
Yes.
It gives you that number instead of the 70 weeks.
Right. So how many days are in a week?
Seven.
So how many days in 70 weeks?
So let's see. That would be 490. 70 times 7 is 490.
That's 490 years. Then.
Yeah.
A day in prophecy equals 1 year.
There you go.
And so let's go back to verse 24.
Okay.
70 weeks are determined or cut off upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression. What transgression was to be finished? The Jewish nation was to fill up the cup of their iniquity, which they did when they rejected Jesus at his crucifixion and was completed at the stoning of Stephen, marking the end of that 70-week prophecy.
Mm. In other words, enough is enough.
Yes.
That's what God says.
Yes.
There comes a time when, you know, it's just like with anything. I mean, there comes a point to where you just have to say, okay, this is it. This is why these things are so important today, friends, because at some point, Jesus is coming back.
Yes.
And when he comes back, we'd better be right with him. And that's why, this is why we're doing ministry. We're trying to help people prepare their hearts. This prophecy should help you get that prepared, because it's all pointing right at the first coming of the Messiah,
right.
This particular prophecy, that the God's chosen nation at that time rejected. And what's amazing is the prophecy that, or the pattern that we looked at last week of Stephen being stoned, this happened right at the end of this 490-year period.
Yes.
So at that point, God was telling the nation of Israel, enough is enough. This is it for you as a chosen nation.
So the beginning of this time period, when the nation of Israel was in captivity in Babylon, and that captivity transferred to Medo-Persia, there are three commands to go out, one from Cyrus, one from Darius, and one from King Artaxerxes.
Okay.
When you look at that in the book of Ezra and the book of Nehemiah, you'll see that that last command from Artaxerxes was 457 B.C.
Okay.
And the word is not used singular in terms of command, but it's plural in terms of commands. Each command represented a portion of this prophecy, and it was fully completed in 457 B.C., in the fall of 457
That's pretty
BC.
Specific, yeah.
Yeah. And so that's where this time period of the 70 weeks, or the 490 years, starts from.
That's an interesting thing, that it would start from the fall. You know, we think about that. Yeah. So we're talking maybe around September or October-ish
yes.
type of area.
Yes.
Okay.
And so you have to understand that Jesus came and started his ministry when?
Actually, it was he got baptized in, let's see, he started his ministry 3.5 years. He had a 3.5 year ministry. He started when he was 30, about 30.
So it was 30. In 31.
Yeah.
And he was put to death 3.5 years later. In the spring, his ministry started in the fall of AD 31. 3.5 years later, in the spring of AD 34, he was put to death on the cross.
Right.
Then 3.5 years later, Stephen was put to death, stoned to death.
Yes.
In the book of Acts. So this prophecy was completed.
So look at what it says here. We talked about Jesus' ministry being 3.5 years. It says in verse 27, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering.
Yes.
This is when Jesus died. He brings an end to those things. Those things in the temple that were done to point to him had now just been fulfilled.
It's, you know, in the King James it says, to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity or for sin.
Mm.
What do we read in Romans chapter 5?
Let me turn there.
Romans 5. Chapter 5.
All right.
And I want to read verse... Well, I can't not read verse 6 through 10.
Yeah, go
so
right
let
ahead.
Me just start there. Romans 5, 6 says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commandeth his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners... Mm. Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him, from the wrath of God.
Mm-hmm.
For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So we see this prophecy being talked about in verse 10, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. That's what we read in Daniel chapter 9.
Yeah, we do. We do. You know, I see this whole thing. Think about this. This nation, they understood, they knew these prophecies. They understood Daniel. Daniel was a Jewish man.
Yes.
And we see verse 25, know in Daniel chapter 9, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, the Messiah shall be cut off. So he's foretelling here the coming of Jesus and the fact that how long his ministry would be, when he would die. The wise men in the New Testament knew the time of his coming based on these prophecies. Yeah.
We see this first 7 weeks in verse 25. That's how long it would take to restore and build Jerusalem, 49 years.
Right, that's right.
And then 62 weeks after that, you know, that's when the Messiah would begin his ministry.
Yeah.
And that week, halfway through, the Messiah would be cut off for 3.5 years of his ministry. He'd be put to death. And we can see why, to finish the transgressions. Remember, the 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Daniel is a Jew.
Yes.
It's talking about the Jewish nation.
You know, Ed, last week and the week before, you made mention of the fact that sometimes rabbis, they have to deny the book of Daniel.
Right.
This is why.
Yes.
This is why. This is why they'll take Isaiah and the Psalms and they'll take these different books and they have to deny them because they all point to this very event
right.
that we're talking about. So how can anyone, how can a church or a denomination or people teach that the Jewish nation is God's chosen nation when all of this evidence is laying here,
right,
that says the Messiah is coming at this pinpoint accurate spot,
right,
and even prophesying when he would die.
And Jesus telling the people of his time, your house is left unto you desolate. You know, God's going to give this to another nation. This,
yeah, it's baffling to me,
yeah,
when I think of how people have, they've just bought this because the church leaders are saying it.
Right.
And you hear it on the news, and people are watching the news, and they're saying, oh, look to Israel, look to Israel. No, look to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, stop looking at the news. Stop looking to nations. Stop looking at religious leaders. Look upon Jesus.
You know, it's interesting that this prophecy, we could go much more in depth about what it's talking,
oh, sure,
about. But unfortunately, the Christian church today has taken this prophecy out of its context, out of its time period.
And they teach something completely, they make up a doctrine.
Yes. Talking about this last week, the 70th week, where it talks about the Messiah shall be cut off.
Right.
They take that week and put it in the future.
Yeah.
They call it a rapture.
How could we do that? I mean, and this is, I've pointed this out to many pastors in this area where we live. When I take them, and we just read what we read here this evening, Daniel 9, 24 through 27, and I just read those verses with them, and I say, now tell me how you take this timeline and you put this spot that it's obviously talking about Jesus getting baptized,
mm-hmm,
Jesus losing his life and being resurrected, mm-hmm, and then, of course, the stoning of Stephen.
The
it's
final
obvious.
Rejection of God
obvious.
And his son.
How do you place that at the end of time? And they have no answer, Ed. They look at me, you know, in this area, sometimes if you've ever heard the expression deer in the headlights,
yeah,
right? They don't know. It's just like they're frozen in time and they can't answer it.
It's so many false doctrines in churches today come about because people are just repeating things that they've been taught and heard. They don't have any understanding of what the Bible actually says. And it's the same with pastors. They repeat, and they believe it with all their hearts, that this is what it is,
they
don't study the Bible for themselves to see what it actually says.
They go by what they're taught in seminary,
right,
or by different things that come up. Now, there is a lecture on the website about the rapture, and I would invite you to look at that if you have this understanding about this quote-unquote secret rapture. You know, it's very clear in the Bible that when Christ comes, every eye will see him coming. There's going to be a trumpet blast. There's going to be a resurrection. People are going to be caught up in the air to meet him. This is why when we close this program each week, we talk about that. That's how we close. If we're not going to meet, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.
Right.
That's at the second coming of Christ. That is still at a future time. So, you know, when we look at this, you can see why God is so frustrated with this nation.
All right, we need to correct some dates here.
Okay.
Jesus started his ministry in A.D. 27.
He died
on the cross in A.D. 31, and the prophecy was
34.
Finished in A.D. 34.
Yeah, what did you say?
A.D. 31 is when he started his ministry.
I thought you were talking about when he died.
No.
Okay.
A.D. 27 is when he was baptized. In the fall of A.D. 27, started his ministry. He was crucified in the spring of A.D. 34. I mean, A.D. 31.
31, yeah.
And then Stephen was killed in A.D. 34.
Yes. So, yeah, for some reason I thought that you were talking about...
Yeah, I don't know, maybe I was confused, but anyways.
And that I want to, you know, we apologize for that, friends. We're going to make mistakes,
right,
you know, and sometimes keeping the number straight, it can be... Troublous. This is why it's so good. If you look at the videos that we've done, we have it charted out. And sometimes even when I do those, I'll say something,
right,
and the chart will say something different.
Right.
It's just, forgive us for that, please. But But
so if you look at 457 BC and do the math of 490 years, realizing there's no year zero.
Right. You can't count.
You'll
have
come
to
out
one.
To AD 27 for 69 weeks, the start of Jesus' ministry. Halfway through that time,
which
69
and a half
weeks,
right.
Jesus is put to death, AD 31, and then the end of the prophecy is AD 34.
Keep in mind that a week is 7 days.
Right.
So the middle of the week would be 3.5 days.
And you'll find a lot of people, a lot of different ministries, a lot of different pastors, preachers, will come up with different dates for Jesus' beginning of his ministry and even his death on the cross.
Right. And there are, you know, if you... I hope that most of you haven't done this, but if you've fallen for that false teaching about this period of time being lopped off and put at the end of time, prophecies in the Bible are seamless.
Yeah.
They don't begin and end. They don't stop and then pick up again. When God gives a timeline, that timeline is seamless. And it seems that all, I'll just leave it at this, it seems that all prophetic timelines that have been prophesied as far as what would happen at specific times
right.
ended at the end of that 2,300 days that we saw in Daniel 8:14. When that timeline ended was when all prophetic timelines. So now we're literally living in the last days where Jesus could come.
Right.
And this is a beautiful thing.
You know, these things apply to the book of Revelation as well. There's a prophecy in Revelation chapter 11, where if you look and compare it to history, it is exact to the day.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, God is precise. He really is. In fact, Jesus, I just want to point this out because we only have a few minutes left. We're looking at this prophecy of Daniel. When this was prophesied, you know, there was a couple of times that Jesus would say, "My time has not yet come."
Yeah.
He knew the day that he was going to have to die.
Well, when he started his ministry, now is the time fulfilled.
That's
right. Talking about this prophecy here in Daniel 9.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So when we take a look at this and we think about it, Jesus died on a Passover day. And every day, any day that follows a Passover is a Sabbath day, not the Sabbath day, the seventh-day Sabbath, but a Sabbath. Jesus died, we know and understand, on a Friday afternoon, as we call it today.
Mm-hmm.
So that Friday was a Passover day, which means that if it was a Friday also, that was a preparation day for the seventh-day Sabbath, which was coming on. So Jesus, not only did he die on the Passover, which was on a Friday, but he died on a preparation, which means that the following day was not just a Sabbath for the Passover, but it was the seventh-day Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
This is precise. Like you said in Revelation, it talks about the very day. Jesus knew the day that he had to die. And what was beautiful about this is he was resurrected on the first day of the week. God began the creation of this world on the first day of the week. And so here we have Jesus dies on the Friday, on the Passover. He is in the tomb for the whole Sabbath day, and he's resurrected on the first day of the week. So just as God rested on the seventh day from his work of creating the world, Jesus rested in a tomb on the seventh day from his work of saving the world. So we see within the Sabbath and within this arrangement, we see that the Sabbath is not only a creation ordinance because God rested, it's a redemption ordinance because Christ rested in the tomb after he had saved the world. He had lived the life he was supposed to live. And then what happens? On the first day, God resurrects him. And now we can have a new beginning. We can be recreated.
Yes.
God has begun his creation of us in a new way. Isn't that beautiful?
You know, I hope people understand what it means to be born again. It's not this feel-good message you hear from a lot of churches saying, now I'm good forever. It doesn't matter what I do, I'm good.
Right.
That's not what it's about.
It is
not. It's about having your life changed by Jesus Christ.
Amen. And that's what's beautiful. That's why I said he recreates us. You know, and David understood this. He wanted a new heart. He wanted God to give him a new heart. And that's what happens. And this is what Nicodemus didn't understand, and Jesus was trying to explain to him. So, you know, I hope this helps. Friends, maybe we can just do a brief review next week, talk a little bit more about this, and maybe wrap this study up in the next week or two about this nation of Israel and why they can't possibly, as a nation, be God's chosen people today. But individually, yes, individuals can come to Christ.
And that doesn't mean things aren't going to happen over there.
That's
or that
correct.
People are going to claim that this is the case. We
That's
hear
correct.
It all the time.
We do.
But just know what the Bible says.
Yes, and remember, the devil doesn't care what ditch he gets you in,
no.
as long as he gets you in the ditch. So, Ed, we're out of time. This time has just flown by this evening. So let's have a closing
All right.
word of prayer. Father in heaven, we're just so grateful to be able to come together and open your word and see these prophecies and how they can relate to us today and to our past and to our eternal future. And Father, I just ask that you will open the eyes of people to just see the words on the page, including us, that we can just read these things and understand them according to your will. So, Father, please be with us. Give us wisdom. Give us discernment. Help us to be able to deal with the things in the world by the Spirit of Christ living in our hearts. And we just ask that you'll keep us together and keep us safe until we come together again. And we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Ed, thanks for leading the study. And, friends, we hope you'll tune in again here on New Visions Radio next week, 7 p.m. next Sunday. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.